On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel.
In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel. God chose new leaders when war came to the city gates, but not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, consider.
The voices of the singers at the watering places. They recite the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of his warriors in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up, break out in song. Arise, O Barak, take captive your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then the men who were left came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came to me with the mighty. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed you. From Machir captains came down, from Zebulun those who bear a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley. In the districts of Reuben there was much searching of heart.
Why did you stay among the sheep pens to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan, and Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives, so did Naphtali on the terraced fields. Kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought. At Tanakh, by the waters of Megiddo, they took no plunder of silver. From the heavens the stars fought, from their courses they fought against Sisera.
The river Kishon swept them away, the age-old river, the river Kishon. Marjon, my soul be strong. Then thundered the horse's hooves, galloping, galloping go his mighty steeds. Curse Misera, said the angel of Yahweh, curse its people bitterly. Because they did not come to help Yahweh against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Yael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell. There he lay, at her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead.
Through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice she cried out, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed?" The wisest of her ladies answer her. Indeed, she keeps saying to herself, "Are they not finding and dividing the spoils, a girl or two for each man? Colourful garments as plunder for Sisera, colourful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck, all this as plunder? So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength." Then the land had peace 40 years.
Today's words are not easy, and yet we trust that God is here. These are words formed in the context of war. Something, thankfully, mostly we are unfamiliar with. But not for everyone in our world. This is an ancient poem, one of the oldest songs in the whole Bible. And what do we hear? We hear the voices of women speaking about war. A rare thing to hear. Today, we listen to three voices. They come from Judges 5. There is imagination involved this morning, and other contemporary female poets have shaped this telling. And as we enter Judges 5, some hope for things to change. Others want things to stay the same. Each story begins simply with, "I am a mother."
I am a mother to my people. The Canaanites came, crushed us when I was just a child. I grew up in a small village in the hill country, just trying to grow enough crops to survive. But we shared what we had. I had a lot of nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles in that village. And what we couldn't share, my father would go down into the valley and trade. He was a trader. I used to love the evenings, because after a hard day's work, we would gather together and my father and my mother would tell stories about people. They'd sing songs. And my favorite story was the story of Miriam. I loved how she and her brother Moses led the people out of Egypt, and as they were fleeing Egypt, she was singing this song with her tambourine. My God is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. There were good times. And then things got harder. My mother searching the cupboards, trying to find something to cook. When she found old bread, that was a win. My father used to go down to the highways, but when the Canaanites came in, law and order broke down. Bandits and robbers took to those highways. And my father was killed. I ran and I ran and I ran until I hit this tree where I collapsed and I shrieked and I howled. And under that palm tree, in the middle of that pain, the God of Sinai spoke to me and called me to be one of his prophets, to be a mother for Israel. And so I started to sit under that palm tree between Bethel and Ramah in the hill country. And at first, I would just be praying for God to act. I'd stare up at the green fronds as they moved in the breeze, day in and day out, and I'd pray, "God, do something. I know you can." Other people started to join me. They sometimes joined me in prayer, or sometimes they wanted to hear a word from the God of Sinai. And so I started to share words, and my words were confirmed to be true. So then more people came, and before I knew it, I started settling disputes among the people, and I became known as a judge in Israel. Some days I'd get pretty frustrated because some of the disputes they wanted to settle, the arguments, they were so petty. And I thought, no wonder the Almighty One doesn't rescue us. I mean, we are so wayward, like children. But other days, my heart broke listening to their stories of other loved ones killed on the roads, of families being evicted off their land because they couldn't pay the taxes that the Canaanites imposed, taxes that seemed to increase year after year. I mean, it's hard enough at the best of times, trying to grow enough to live. The Canaanites, they were squeezing us dry. Village life ceased. And if something didn't change, we'd soon cease. This fire started to burn in me as they heard story after story, each story fueling this fire, and I became so angry at the Canaanites. They lived in luxury while we struggled. And I became convicted that God wanted us to act. So I started to speak. I wanted my words to burn those who heard them. I wanted my words to spark my people into action. I started to dream at night of palm trees lighting up in the darkness like torches, the flames jumping from tree to tree. We couldn't be scared any longer. That's what I said to my people. We can't be scared. We need to rise up. We need to sing again. I started to dream at night of Yahweh marching towards us like a warrior, marching from the land of Edom, the ground shaking, the heavens pouring water, the mountains fleeing, God on the move. Yahweh had entrusted these sons and daughters to me. And so like a good mother, I wanted to protect them. That's what a good mother does, right? You protect your children, you bring new life. And so I could see that my people needed a leader. So I became that leader. And I summoned Barak to me and I said, Barak, you are going to be the commander of our army and we are going to have an army. Barak, do you hear the songs they sing at the watering places? They sing of the victories of Yahweh. Wake up, Barak. Arise. It's time to take captive the captive, son of Abinom. And so Barak and I started to travel the highways, summoning the tribes. And the men started to come. From Benjamin, from Ephraim, from Zebulun and Naphtali, this spark began to grow and I was filled with excitement as the tribes gathered at Mount Tabor, preparing for what was to come. Not all the tribes came. In Reuben, there was much searching apart, but no action. And Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan River. And Dan, why did you linger at the ships? And Asher stayed on the coast, hiding in the coast, but I said to those who came, don't be discouraged. God is with us. We're not going to risk our lives in vain. This is a fire that cannot be quenched. And so the king of Canaan sent his commander Sisera. And Sisera came with his iron chariots. We faced one another, and then we fought. At the waters of Megiddo, we fought. And the stars and the heavens were with us and they fought. And that age-old river, the river Kishon, was with us. And this river swept the chariots away. March on, my soul, be strong. I heard the sound of horses' hooves galloping and I turned to see the Canaanites fleeing, defeated. Praise God. Yahweh once more showed that he is a warrior to those who cannot defend themselves. He rescues the weak, the villagers, the peasants. Because of Yahweh, we have a chance to live once more.
If you were to write a poem, what would it say? Would you focus on personal struggles? The struggles of a nation, or do you go even wider? What are your prayers full of? You, your family, or do they go further than that? Deborah's prayers went far beyond herself. She longed for change for her people. Benja Matur is a Kurdish poet. She grew up persecuted in her country for being Kurdish. When she was 20 years old, she was arrested and she was jailed for 12 months. Because she was Kurdish and a law student, she was viewed with suspicion. She started forming poems while sitting in the darkness of the prison. She longs to see change in her country. Who will hear her voice? Can God be here in these complex struggles?
I am a mother to all those who suffered. What else do you need to know about me? What else do you want to know? Maybe not much. Maybe you don't want to get too close. I mean, I get it, not many people want to go near me. Even before I did what I did, people would give me a wide berth. I'm not one of you. I'm not an Israelite, I'm a Kenite. When I was born, my mother named me the wild one, like a wild goat. I was born with lots of dark hair. I was born strong and a bit rebellious. My father tried to stamp that out, told me to be a good girl, silent, still, but when my father wasn't watching, my mother raised me to be strong. And I thought I was strong until war came, and then I realized I wasn't strong at all. A soldier came into my tent, grabbed me, pinned me down. I tried to fight back, but he struck me in the head, and I fell at his feet. I sank, there I fell, there I lay. I don't have to tell you, do I, what happens to women in war? Maybe you've heard soldiers boast, this tent is mine, this girl is mine. They took some of my sisters away, they took some of the girls away, but they left me behind. I don't know why they left me. Soon afterwards, my parents married me off to Herba, and Herba wanted to be safe, so he left our tribe, and I never saw my mother again. Herba became a collaborator with the Canaanites. He wanted to sidle up to those who had power, so he became an ally, working for Sisera. Any rumors of war or rebellion, he passed on to Sisera. I hated the way he groveled, the way I was supposed to grovel towards this man. I heard about this prophet, this woman prophet speaking in Israel, calling on Israel to rise, and I just missed it at first. I mean, what is a few villages going to do? The Israelites are this strange people. They believe in this God of justice. I'm not even sure if I believe in the gods. If they're there, I don't think they care very much about me. Herba went to find out more information so he could tell Sisera what was happening, and he told me to stay safe, stay in the tent. And so I stayed in that tent. I stayed in that tent a really long time until I could hear the sounds of the battle taking place nearby, until the tent walls began to quiver and shake just like when I was a little girl. And just like when I was a young girl, I heard footsteps coming towards the tent. And I peered out and I saw this man, this bloody man running towards me with a sword by his side. And I wanted to disappear, but he saw me. So I decided that I would be strong, I'd pretend to be strong, and so I stepped out, and I realized it was Sisera. I said hello. I was trying to work out what was happening, like, had the Canaanites lost? Who had won this battle? I politely informed him that my husband wasn't here, but he didn't seem to care, he was agitated, glancing this way and that, his sword swinging. I invited him into my tent, not expecting that he'd say yes, because a man does not enter a woman's tent. But he did say yes. And I was reminded that this was not just a man, this was a soldier, and a soldier could do what he wanted. And so I thought I'd pretend to be like a mother. Maybe if I was like a mother, if I reminded him of his own mother, then I would be safe. So we went into the tent, and I offered him some water, which he drank. And then I said, would you like some milk? Again, not expecting that he would say yes, because only children drink milk. But he said he wanted some milk, and so I poured him milk, and I watched as he gulped it down, and it's splashing all over his face, running down his beard and his neck. I wrapped him up in a blanket, tucked him in nice and tight like he was a child, and as I watched him fall asleep, this idea entered my head. This was it. This was my opportunity to get back at him and all those soldiers who had violated my sisters, my friends, me. Treated us as if we were nothing. That we could be used. Whatever they wanted us to be, we could be sex slave, mother, both. And so my left hand grabbed the tent peg and my right hand the workman's hammer. I wanted him to feel what I felt. I'm a mother to all those daughters who suffered. With all my force, I pulled the hammer down, and it penetrated him. It shattered and broke his temple. His eyes opened in shock, and then he fell. He fell at my feet, dead. No more. You will not hurt another woman any longer. I'm a mother to all those daughters. You tell me, you be my judge. Was I wrong to put a stop to such a man? Was I wrong? Who else is going to put a stop so that women do not experience violence any longer? I did spoil you sometimes. I wanted him to have whatever his heart desired, so I dressed him in the latest fashions and I gave him a pony when he was just little so he could learn to ride. I didn't have him for very long. I knew there'd come a time when we'd have to go off and learn how to be a real man, and that day came too soon. I remember the day that he had to leave. I got up early and I got the slaves to light the candles, and I wanted to prepare the meal, the right meal for him, so I packed yogurt and cheese and dried fruit and water. I wanted it just the way he liked it. It almost became this little ritual whenever he'd return home. We'd sit and we'd share our breakfast together. He'd tell me what he'd be doing. My son Sisera grew up to be this strong warrior, rising quickly up the ranks to become the commander of the Canaanite army. And then my son started to give me whatever my heart desired. He started to bring me back all these gifts from the places that he visited, more jewels and gowns and embroidery. I loved it. I love him. And whenever he was about to leave, he'd grab my hands and he'd kiss them and he'd say, "Mother, will you pray for me?" And I said, "Of course I pray. I know that his work is dangerous." So I'd get out the little statues and I'd pray. Sometimes I'd pace up and down the halls, peering through the windows, waiting for news. And one day news did come. Not the news that I wanted, but still good news. The Israelites were rising up. Well, I relaxed when I heard that. My son would deal with them pretty quickly. The Israelites are pretty weak. And so as I waited for him to come back, I started to daydream about what riches he might bring back this time. I mean, that is the best part of war. The spoils of war. Everyone wins. Like, the men get their reward, a slut or two for each man, and then I get this beautiful embroidery and rich cloths. But why is my son so delayed? Why can't I hear the horses? I peer through the lattice, and the ladies start to mumble reassurances. I've forgotten that they were there. I am a mother, and I just want my son home and safe.
If you were to write a poem, what would it say? Sometimes we don't long for change. We like things the way they are, like Sisera's mother. This song in Judges 5 stretches our empathy, and we need our empathy stretched. We need to hear different voices. Learn to put yourself in someone else's shoes. Then justice might come. Jesus could sit with all different types of people, and he said, "Change is coming. Justice is coming. Mercy is coming. Are you ready?" So the question is, what is your prayer this morning? I'm going to invite Maurice up now. He's going to pray and play a song for us. And during this time, we're going to have some space now to respond and for you to write a prayer to Jesus as a way of responding, giving voice to your struggles, giving voice perhaps to others and their struggles. And if you're brave enough, you can put your prayer on the communion table for others to read, or if not, that's the prayer just for you to take home for you. So spend some time now. You'll have pens and papers on your chairs and people home on Zoom. You want to spend some time in prayer as well.